What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Hollywood Already Did It, your movie podcast for reboots, sequels, and anything that's been done before, asking why we keep retelling the same stories, if they were relevant then, if they're relevant now, and if we're just out of ideas. As always, I am your host, Blake Schultz, and with me is Terrence Tatum.
Hello, everyone.
And this Memorial Day weekend, we are talking about The Little Mermaid, the I don't even know how many live action adaptations they've done
I've
now.
I've lost count. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, we're going to keep doing them, I guess. They keep making money and I keep wondering why. But here we are, a whole new world. That's not the song. Under the sea.
Aladdin.
Aladdin's a whole new world. She wants to go to their world. There's always a new world. There's always a discrepancy of like either rich or poor or this community and that community. And then the two worlds come together despite parents not wanting them to. And then there's magic and a wish and nothing's really resolved.
No.
We'll
ignore all the pain and suffering we had in the war because you guys like each other. So cool.
I don't know why with this movie, I was like, is every Disney animated classic the same? Is it always a princess who doesn't want whatever she's about to get? And then someone outside of her world gets into that world and then they love each other. I think
for the most part, they all follow that formula. Yeah, that sounds about
that's
right.
Almost always it.
Yeah.
But what did you think of The Little Mermaid?
My two favorite Disney animated films are Aladdin and The Little Mermaid. So this one had a pretty high bar for me because Aladdin, I liked parts of it. Parts of it I did not like. That is kind of the same with this one. I like more in this than I did in Aladdin. So let me start there. I think Halle is fantastic as Ariel. Like she is the price of admission. Like that's the reason most people are going back to see this. Why a huge community of people who probably never seen the original or galvanized to go watch this film. It's happening because the Black community has somebody that looks like them on screen. So start there. And I think she nails it. She's great. I think Melissa McCarthy is great. I love Ursula. I love her. Ursula's supposed to be over the top and kind of very physical, and I dug it. She was great. I have a problem a little bit with some of the new additions, more so the story elements, like the whole Triton and Ursula being brother and sister. I was like, that wasn't necessary for the cartoon. That's not necessarily really necessary here. And the songs, two of them work for me. I know people, it can go either way. People are if on the Scuttlebutt song. I feel like if you are a person of color and you like Hamilton and that type of stuff, you'll kind of lean the Lin-Manuel stuff. You kind of dig it. If you're not, you probably won't. It worked for me. The song for Eric, I could absolutely do without. I think it's terrible. I think it's sung terribly, and I don't think that lyrically it's a good book on it either. So that was the one part that kind of just yanked me out of the movie. I like how it looks. I like how it feels. It feels like The Little Mermaid. Everything kind of works. But there are some things that the biggest thing for me, the connection between Triton and Ariel just didn't work. And a lot of that is because for me, I don't have a problem with Javier Bardem. But for some reason in this particular role, it just didn't work for me. And I just had no, I don't care about the color casting because this was almost like a theatrical play. You're kind of like everybody can be whatever color. Just something about the way that he was delivering it didn't work. I never felt that Ariel honestly should be that afraid of him. Like it just felt really, like I know that's your father, but I didn't get that. Like in the cartoon, when Triton gets pissed, you're like, she is in deep trouble. And this one, I'm like, she might get talking to him a little bit. And I never get that weight. And that's for me, a lot of the impetus that pushes her to go and make that decision to go talk to Ursula. And I never get that. And so a lot of it is kind of like, oh, I'm doing this because the original book for The Little Mermaid said to do this, as opposed to what this story is telling me now, doesn't feel like Ariel really earned the right to go talk to Ursula. It's like she's doing that. And like, oh, now you're being a little bit selfish. And that's where this loses me a bit. Overall, though, I had a good time. It was enjoyable. But I still, outside of the color, the representation aspect of it, I still think the animated version holds up a lot stronger than this.
100%. I think that's how I have felt about each one. And I've liked some of them. I think Cruella's still my favorite because it does the most like hard left.
Yeah.
I liked Aladdin because I like that That's my favorite animated one. I don't hate The Lion King, but I am like, how did you get Beyonce and Donald Glover and not do more?
Yeah.
And that's sort of how I felt here, because she is so good at being Ariel. And yeah. I liked all the underwater stuff and the different mermaids, and Sebastian I thought was great, and great. Flounder was fun. Mm-hmm. And it was so strange to me that I sat there for 2 hours and 15 minutes and felt like no one did anything. And I think my biggest issue, what doesn't work for, with these movies, is just the padding. We should just do 90-minute fun musicals and get out of there, because we keep adding things that are unnecessary, like them being brother and sister, and like this weird agency that the prince's family has of, well, the merb, the sea gods hate us and we can't go there, and the humans hate us. And what was weird about that dichotomy was it never felt like anyone really cared that much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like no one, Javier Bardem never is like, well, if we go up there, it's war and we need to be ready for war. And same with the royal family. They were always just like, well, the sea gods, you know, they don't care much for us.
Yeah. It's all like, been how superfluous. It's like, oh, they keep having shipwrecks and stuff ends up down here, but that's all we're upset about. I'm like, well, that's not enough.
Yeah, they kind of go into some of the, well, you know, the humans don't care about the ocean and it's the polluting. And, oh, I don't think it's really their fault that these crashes are happening, but there is no anything else behind that. And I think that was the same problem with the father-daughter connection they had. Was it just, you know, in the first one, you get the sense that if she's not there, the whole kingdom doesn't operate anymore. And when she abandons it, it affects everyone.
Right.
And it really, really felt like in this one, it didn't really matter. And Javier Bardem just felt bad.
Yeah.
And I think that even happened with some of like Ursula's, like, oh, and he got all the power and I didn't get anything. And I was like, I don't understand why this matters, because I haven't really seen him rule anything. Like when do Scar and Mufasa, you're like, oh, Scar is in this like shitty place.
Right.
And Mufasa rules a kingdom and no one likes Scar. And it feels like Ursula made an active choice to go over there.
Right. It seemed like she wanted to take this part of the ocean and just do her thing and do her vibe. It didn't seem like Triton put you there. It seemed like you chose that life.
And so, yeah, all the themes they tried to add to make it more, I don't know, of today didn't really connect. And same, so the best scenes were the ones that were like pulled from it.
Same with like I get it, because you did colorblind casting for his parents and whatnot too, but him being basically adopted or fostered, it didn't matter. Like, you didn't need to add that to this to kind of overcomplicate this, other than saying, hey, you don't belong to this world, you don't belong to your world, we should merge into the worlds. Like, guys, you can simply, this is a 90-minute animated film, keep it as that. Like, let's just do that again.
Yeah, which, you know, the 90-minute one was very much just like the importance of having your voice and speaking your mind and having your emotions and the freedom to do what you want. And I felt like this one was more like about nothing. Like, she doesn't even really debate giving up her voice that much.
Pretty, I mean, she has a facial look, but it's pretty quick. And then they throw in the line. Like, I like the line. It just doesn't read well, considering how everything else in the film goes. But like when he's talking to her and he's letting her go, I'm like, oh yeah, that's the dad letting his daughter go. And it's like, you shouldn't have had to lose your voice for me to be able to hear it. Cool messaging. Nothing that occurred before this leads me to that point.
And kind of an awkward shot of Javier Bardem like floating in the water. People in our theater laughed.
So did ours. So did
ours. I was like, oh no, this really isn't playing great. Like, no, this is
weird. It looks weird.
And it's a shame, because like the stuff that works so well. When she sings Part of Your World is great, and Ursula's song is fun, even though we plucked some of the lines out of it and changed that up. And I get same that some with, of them
same with Kiss the Girl. It's the first time that I actually noticed it, because I'm a huge fan of the Little Mermaid, so I know the words. And while they still put it in the beats and the framing of the song, I know it so much that I heard it, I was like, that's not how that's supposed to go. And I get it, you clean it up so that it doesn't look like Eric's being a bad person when he's approaching her to kiss her, but it still is like,
it felt a little too safe. Cause like, I also was like, oh yeah, they're trying to like brush this up. And I think the Ursula lines they changed were like don't trust them up there because of like the allure of like using your body. And I was like, I'm sure that someone was like, this isn't appropriate. But I don't think anyone's ever been that upset at the Little Mermaid.
No.
And like Ariel wants to be with him.
Right.
So for them to change that is like, well, hold, she's like leaning in. We don't, this is all fine.
Yeah. Right.
It was a movie.
It seemed like you're overdoing it because in the boat ride, she's having feelings, he's having feelings. The natural thing is, yes, they probably do want to kiss each other. You are then going over and above to be like, hey, only kiss her if you have signed consent for her. I'm like, guys, I get it. Stop, please.
Yeah, I feel like they're pushing a little too hard to be like really, really, really safe. And I think that extends beyond the lyrics they changed in the song into the themes of the movie and like why it would have worked today. You're like, well, you're playing everything so safe that I don't feel like Trident's really mad at Ariel. And I don't even really feel like Melissa McCarthy's a threat. And I don't feel like anyone really cares about anything because you haven't even really established why it matters that any of these people aren't here outside of the simple, your mom was killed by humans, so right. Humans bad.
Right.
But then he never really gets that angry at anybody. He never lashes out. And it's such a quick turnaround of, oh, you fought for me, Ariel. Eric was there too. Oh my goodness. Well, then everything, this is fine then.
Never mind.
Yeah. Let me fix this with a flash of my, even when they were going to their uncharted waters, I was like, you guys aren't even going to stay and try to like make these two communities that you're a part of, like work together. You're just going to go off. Because then when Flounder was like, you're not going to be gone long, is what I was like, what do you care? You've barely talked to her.
Yeah. It's one of those things where when you add this much padding, then you have to sort of explain it. And when they don't, the meat of what's actually in there for that 90-minute film is where we all really care about. And you've taken out some of the fun and then added all of this extra stuff that just doesn't lead to stuff. And you're kind of just like, I just want to get to the, give me the greatest hits. Give me Kiss the Girl. Let me get Under the Sea, Part of the World. And let's get the hell out of here.
And I think that's the weird place these movies have landed, because they keep making money. This one's already made a ton. I think it's the fifth highest grossing Memorial Day weekend ever.
Correct.
Which is crazy. Aladdin made a bunch of money. They're all making money. And I wonder how much of it really is just the nostalgia of the songs we liked and how much of it is new people. Because I feel like after these movies come out, we forget about them.
Yeah.
Like I don't think any of them have like lasted in our mind's eye that much. My favorite
one is still Jungle Book, and I've never gone back, and I don't think much of it. Because if I'm going to watch them, I'm going to put on the animated one. This is the only one, though, I will say that there's a bit of a caveat. There is that. This one's different enough because of who the lead person is that there's a group of people who may go back to watching this one. I think that's why the audience is here for this. I think they said that most of the audience was like 20% African-American, 30% Hispanic. It's people who are black and brown and kind of like, yo, I'm going to watch this because we are finally being represented. So I think this one, because it has changed the sort of the conceit of who Ariel is, may hang around in the zeitgeist a little bit longer than some of the other ones just because of what it means to a certain group of people. But otherwise,
yeah, you're
correct.
No, I think diversity and inclusion will always work and keep it around. And this worked very well because it wasn't a story about her being a black mermaid. No. She's just a black mermaid.
And I also love that they don't even explain like all the sisters are different. Like they're like, oh, you guys are of the seven seas. You're kind of the nationality of whatever sea you are near, you're bodying around. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. I dig that. That works.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
And you know what? Didn't have to explain it. I just took it.
It's a fictional movie anyways. So that's fine. In fact, you should have done more work to explain why I care about any of these other characters. Because the weird part about these adaptations is they keep picking really good cast members to like nail the songs we all want, and I feel like that's the laurel they hang all of them up on. This whole movie's marketing was like, come see her sing Part of This World,
and she murders it. And then when that is over, it is sort of a letdown for the rest of the film after that point.
That's
in the first 25 minutes of the 30 minutes of the film.
It was how I felt about Aladdin. They were like, come see Robin Williams, come see Will Smith be the genie and do the genie stuff, and then go home.
And then we're done.
We got Beyonce to sing this one Lion King song. Isn't that great? Goodbye. It's like, well, why not get the rest? The Jungle Book was so good because you didn't do that different work.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is interesting that there keeps being an audience, and the tail for that audience, even like factoring in second, third, fourth weekends, just seems to be like, and it vanishes upon the home video release.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
it disappeared. I mean, it's a little bit of that is because it's weird now, because back in the day, it used to go into home video and you would just see people snatch it up all the time. You see that you could actually physically see numbers of like, this is how much this was sold on home video. Now it's on streaming and people can watch it at their leisure when they want. So it's not like, I don't have to rush to watch it. It's always there. So it's not that much of a drive to go watch them like they used to be.
Well, it's almost made it lose what used to make Disney releases special. Was a very frustrating, to be fair, practice of, and then it's back in the vault.
Locking
and
in
now
the
vault. We've pulled it out of the vault. And I hate when we remove things from streaming services, like with Willow and everything else, but there's a small part of me that's like, how have they not made the vault? And how are they not sort of doing it? Like, here's Aladdin, watch it while you can. And then we'll pull it out sometimes and we'll put it back and we'll pull it out again.
They sort of created the specialness of those classics back in the day. And now they don't do it anymore. They're like, nope, it's there whenever you want it. And that's a little bit of why things are the way they are.
It's the frustrating thing that I feel like I talk about ad nauseum with the word content that I hate, where I feel like these used to be events and the release was an event and they would bring it, they would roll it out for this special time and there's a new DVD and you got a little bit to do it. And now it's like, oh, there's just more Disney content out and there's more Little Mermaid content there. It's there. Just enjoy it. It's all lumped in. And the minute it doesn't get us our tax return, we'll pull it away forever. And I just hate that it feels like we're not only doing that with like Disney movies, but with like all these movies. And it's very weird that the Little Mermaid and these Disney remakes to me have become the most indicative thing of this, that we create one fun thing to hook you in, whether it's like a celebrity in a song or a like, look at all the underwater stuff we're doing. Mm-hmm. And then we just kind of throw it off to the next one and it shows up on an app and we're like, yeah, it's there. It's fine. Just, you know, it's,
yeah,
that was only $200 million we spent. Just, you know what, click it when you want to. It's fine. It's almost what happens with like the Pixar brand too. Like every now and then I'm like, oh yeah, this used to really be like a thing I got excited about. I
completely
and
forgot that Elemental comes out in like 2 weeks. I was like, oh yeah, that's a thing. Huh. Cool. When you're right, that used to be like, oh, Pixar is coming. But a lot of that got watered down in the pandemic when they were putting stuff on streaming, kind of just releasing it. But Pixar brand got a little bit watered down at that point. And then they start releasing two in a year. But yeah, it's a little bit of that. You're like, you're not doing the things that you used to, mainly because you have to turn out content so much. You're just like moving on to the next.
It's what I hope that they're sort of course correcting with Marvel and Star Wars, where we're going to delay Marvel's a little bit. And we're going to kind of like, hold on now. It got a little too, here it all is. And I was like, I think that's sort of what happens when all these studios are not really in a race to beat each other at the box office anymore. They're in a weird race to like have as much stuff on their service to either keep you engaged or get you to subscribe. And it's just making everything feel less unique to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where like a bit of that like Disney magic is almost starting to fade. And it's a shame because I miss being excited.
I miss that. Like seeing the Tinkerbell go across the castle and all that stuff used to bring me like, oh, this is about to be a good time. And I didn't get that. Now, some of that, obviously, we're both grown as men. So that sort of changes some of that magic. I am curious because I know I've seen it and I have quite a few young nieces and whatnot in my life that 6 to 14-year-old girl, they are loving everything that this mermaid is giving them. Like they are eating it up. And I think that's sometimes that is what it's all about. It's like, yeah, I might not have the magic that attaches to it because I still have the other ones. No one's removing those from me. I still have them. But for them, at that point in the childhood, it's kind of like you saw Phantom Menace when you were young and he's like, hey, I dig this movie.
Right.
I'm being slightly older and he was like, this is, what the hell is this? seeing it through a kid's eye at that point, at this point in time, might be the one that just locks into them forever. And it could be something that they repeat over and over again. Whereas us, this jaded old folks, are like, nope, give me mine with the Disney and the anime.
I want the Broadway like version. It also, it does, this will probably be my last thing. I'm like, it is interesting that we have all these Broadway musicals. And whenever we do these live action ones, we're like, nope, new songs. Like, and guys,
I know you have a different book. You can use those.
And I understand that 9 times out of 10, that's for like award contention. But I don't think they've made an award-winning original song in any of these.
Not in one. Like, no. I still hate that whatever that Lion King, whatever Beyonce was singing, I was like, please remove this from the movie. I hate this.
The Broadway Nala song was better.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. This one definitely doesn't have, like, I like the song that she has when she's voiceless and kind of thinking in her head. I was like, oh, that's a cool addition. You get to hear her thoughts, and that makes sense. I like Scuttlebutt. But for the most part, if all three of those were removed, including Eric's song, I'd be like, huh, cool.
That was also where I got very strange, because she has a line about the corset. I was like, hold on, she knows what a corset is, but she's eating soap? Like, wait a minute, there's no...
It happens a little bit, quite a few times with the lyrics in this, especially with additional lyrics you're having. Like, hey, she doesn't know what these things are, but you keep having her do things where she's saying in this song, she understands fully what this is. That's not possible.
Even the curse where it's like, oh my God, she doesn't know about the 3 days anymore. And I was like, but she also still seems to have the agency that she needs to kiss him. So, wait.
Yeah.
There was some very small things where I was like, hold on.
Yeah, it's one of the problems when you're like, oh, you wrote the book for this, and it's a cute song, and hey, we're not bringing Halle Bailey in to sing one song. So no. She's going to sing another song, but you write it, and you're like, you don't think about it, like, oh, this doesn't make a lot of sense in the proximity of what we're doing. But, oh well, cool, she's going to still sing it, that's fine.
Part of this, that's really Ariel's only song in the cartoon, isn't it?
That's her only song, which is why I thought about that when I was done. I was like, you got a phenomenal voice to sing a song. Because everybody else, they added her, because she doesn't really sing in Under the Sea in the animated version, but they put her harmony a little bit in there. Just like,
yeah,
hey, we got you here. Sing along with this.
Oh, her harmony is all over this movie. Yeah, we kept it using it. I was like, guys, we got it. Like, just give her write another song then.
Yeah, but she only has the one song in the other one. So like, they were like, get her another song quick.
I guess that's how most of the animated ones are, though. It's like, I guess there's really only like one Aladdin 90 song. Minutes.
So like, in
everyone kind of gets a song.
They all get
their
one song, and they usually, because it's usually like a 5-minute song. So that if you give four characters that's 20 minutes out of your 90-minute film, and then the rest is the story beat.
Then hear me out. These should all be 90-minute movies. That seems to be working, because we remember all those songs. Yeah, I don't even know what the next one is. Have they announced the next?
Isn't there? There's a Lion King sequel.
No, they've been talking about that. We were supposed to get the Aladdin White Prince's spinoff that no one wanted.
No white live action too, I think. So those are like some of our next ones. I think there's a Sleeping Beauty somewhere on the books, but like,
okay. When are we going to?
They've run through the classics, like that big run of Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King. That was their big run. Those are all here already. So now it's kind of like, cool. What? Snow White? Sleeping Beauty? Like, we got to go further back.
We got to go all the way back. And not one post-credit scene for Kingdom Hearts. Oh, Hercules is coming. The TikTok Hercules movie or whatever that's going to be.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Moana, which is weird. See, this is where this is getting a problem.
Yeah, now
stuff that's not even that old. Like, I expect you randomly, like, we're going to do a live action Frozen. Guys, that's a year ago. Stop.
Well, it would almost make sense. Like, Princess and the Frog should be up there.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's really in their wheelhouse or not, but I was like, I'm surprised a Nightmare Before Christmas isn't coming. That seems like it would be an easy big sell. And then maybe they have, did we do Pocahontas yet? We haven't done Pocahontas.
No, they've been trying to. I think the script for it's a touchy one,
because that's a tough one.
It's really troubling to
change it up, fix it then. I don't know.
Yeah, it gets really dicey to do that one. But yeah, that's another big one because they did Mulan, and I actually like the Mulan. It's slightly different, and I think that's why I like it, because it's not a straight up musical. I think that's why I like Cinderella, because it's not really like, hey, we're going to do our own sort of thing. But the ones that go like one-to-one, kind of like, ugh.
Well, that's what I still think is working best for him, are the ones that go left. Like, I think Cruella worked because it was a very different direction.
I like Jungle Book because Jungle Book was literally like a bunch of short stories and they made this big film out of it and it worked. Yeah.
I was like, if it was me, I wouldn't be trying to put some weird tick, whatever they're doing. I don't know if it is TikTok, but whatever social media Hercules movie is, like, just make it Hades or Persephone, or just go left. Just show me the underworld. I'd like go. That would be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're not embracing that side of it. And instead
there's
just
there's a Lilo and Stitch coming, which is odd. I do remember seeing that, because I remember casting some casting issues.
Oh, well, now we're just out of my nostalgia now.
Now you're getting out of even my window.
Hit Lilo and Stitch and like Brother Bears, when I'm like, I don't remember what happened after this. I know Princess and the Frog came out. I got to think about the Kingdom Heart world and the rides at Disneyland. Then I got to start kind of being like, right. What else was there?
Yeah.
Are we going to do Up? Is it Pixar's turn? Are we going to do a live action Toy Story or something?
That'll be weird. But content over everything.
I mean, yeah, right? I was like, that seems to be... That's what they should have done with Lightyear. Lightyear should have been the live action movie that Andy watched. That would have made more sense.
That would have made more sense than them. Don't get me started on Lightyear.
I know. Now I am just like, are we going to do Up? And
they still have some other ones that are in there. Like The Sword and the Stone would actually be a really solid one.
That makes sense to me. Yeah. That's a movie that's like, I would watch that. There's plenty there.
They got a lot, yeah.
Yeah. And all of these can get sequels. I think Cruella was supposed to get like two or three more. Mm-hmm.
Cruella will probably get another one. I mean, Lion King's already got one. I imagine if this one makes enough. Ariel had two Little Mermaid direct-to-video movies, I think. So, like, they're going to crank these out.
I'm sure Aladdin will have a Return of Jafar movie.
Yeah.
And we'll be doing these for a long time.
We're in it now.
I know. We've been in it. We've been doing this since Maleficent.
Yeah.
But that's our show, everybody. Thank you for listening. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram at HollywoodADI. We have our YouTube channel, Hollywood Already Did It, where Terrence does his trailer reactions and show reviews for whatever is out that he is watching. And I'm at, as always, Blake. He is at Terrence Tatum. And we will see everybody next week for Spider-Verse. And then I think the week after for Transformers, whichever number it is.
75.
Yeah. I think so, unless this is a reboot or I don't know what we're doing. I just know it's coming out. I don't think they've been clear. I think they're like, I don't know, maybe Bumblebee's a prequel. Maybe it's a reboot. Maybe you show up and we find out together.
We'll tell you then.
Does it really matter? Has anyone been that wrapped up in the lore of these films?
These guys don't know that these were here already. This doesn't make sense.
Every movie is we have to rediscover them, and someone has to be new to it, and someone has to, they were also over here as beasts and over here as dinosaurs. And I don't know why they never landed on Mars, but
yeah, they all keep coming here.
I mean, I it's going to be a good time. All right. We will see everybody next time.